Why are ad buyers moving money into connected TV? New data shows the massive growth in online ad-supported viewing. Keep listening to understand why.
Of the Video News Endscreen Media Podcast. Excuse me, this is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from Endscreen Media is with me. Colin, from home, your home office as usual. How's everything going there?
It's going well, and things are looking considerably brighter here. The Premier League has started back up, so we're finally going to see the last few games this weekend too, of course, played in empty stadiums. But at least we're going to get the official crowning of Liverpool as the champions this season.
Yeah, seems like life is getting back to some semblance of normalcy, which is good. We're going to talk about advertising this week. Specifically, we are next week going to have the annual NewFronts. IAB is going to be hosting. I think about 24 different companies are going to be presenting. And IAB released some research on what they're hearing. This was their third ad buyer survey that they fielded since the pandemic outbreak in March. And we're going to go through some of those numbers today.
Very good. So, yeah, why don't you? There were some very, very surprising conclusions in there. But why don't you give us the top line and let us know what's going on?
Well, the big headline, so just to quickly, again, this is IAB's third ad buyer survey, buy-side survey that they've done since the pandemic broke out. This is 148 media planners, media buyers, and brands that they surveyed. The full report is available online, but we're just going to call out a few highlights here today. And the thing that really jumps out, and probably no great surprise here, is that 59% of respondents, of the survey respondents, plan to spend more on connected TV and OTT in the second half of 2020. So 59%, that was the number one digital channel, anticipating an increase in the second half of 2020 out of about eight or nine different channels that IAB asked about. So 59% of respondents plan to spend more on CTV and OTT in the second half of 20. 22% said they weren't planning any change, and 18% said that they were planning to decrease their spending on CTV and OTT. So pretty bullish there. And digging in just a little bit further, respondents who said they plan to increase their CTV or OTT spending, again, that 59%, they said that on average they're planning to increase their spending by 25% in Q3 and 27% in Q4. And those were also the highest spending increases planned, except in Q4. Social media actually was slightly higher, 32% increase in spending in Q4 planned on social media. But CTV was clearly the number one channel here. Just to put it into a little bit more context, when IAB did its prior ad buyer survey, which was released at the end of March, they found that 35% of respondents said they intended to increase their CTV or OTT spending in the remainder of Q1 and for Q2, with 50% planning no change. So that was the remainder Q1 and full Q2. And now we see, as they're being surveyed for Q3 and Q4, that the number has increased to 59% expecting to increase their ad spending on CTV and OTT. So that's pretty bullish. And I'll just say one other quick thing, just to give a little more context again, is that, and you and I have talked about this on the podcast in the past couple of weeks, but CTV spending is increasing because it's clear that there are more homes than ever that are using CTV, and the homes that have it are using CTV more intensively, and that's helping to drive up the number of CTV ad impressions. So again, we had research from Leishman Research Group a couple weeks ago that 80% of US TV households now have at least one CTV, and that the mean ownership in those CTV households is over four CTVs, which led LRG to estimate that over 400 million CTVs are now deployed in the US alone. And we had data from Innovid that said that in the last week of May, that CTV ad impressions were up 36% year over year. So CTV is kind of in this really nice virtuous cycle right now. And the new fronts coming next week, I would say no doubt a key focus in all of the presentations, I would assume, is going to be on CTV. Don't you agree?
I think it will. And you know, the surprising thing here, I guess it's not a surprise. That's such a big increase from 35% to 59%. And I tell you, you've just made Roku and Pluto TV and the smart TV manufacturers, everybody who basically is working to expand the AVOD market, you've just made them very happy.
It was IAB and, of course, the survey respondents. Sure. And by the way, Roku is kicking off the new fronts next week. So that's a first ever, I think, first time that they're presenting at the new fronts, and they're in the very first position on Monday morning.
Right. And, you know, that they in particular have talked repeatedly about the fact that they don't think that advertising spending really reflects where people are watching. And I have to say, looking at some of the data that I've just heard from Comscore, I got to believe them. But before we look at that data, I have to ask one other question, Will. What is happening with TV advertising? Because this money has to come from somewhere. So my assumption is that it's being redirected from TVs. Is that a correct assumption?
Well, I'm not sure it's a correct assumption. It might be a partially correct assumption. IAB, in their survey, they looked at other channels as well. They said that they found that only 22% of respondents plan to increase their spending on linear TV, with 54% planning to decrease their spending on linear TV. And actually, with a flat forecast in Q3 and down 6% in Q4, Group M also forecast that traditional TV is going to drop by 7% in 2020. So I think that linear TV is down this year. That's no surprise given the lack of live sports. But some of that money is probably being redirected, but a lot of it, I think, is also just going to sit on the sidelines and just not get spent at all. I mean, there are entire categories like travel, for instance, where ad spending is basically just on hiatus right now. So, that would be a lot of money if it was fully redirected into CTV and OTT. So it's not all coming in, but maybe some of it is.
Yeah. So, but you know, looking at this Comscore data, as I just sat in on Comscore's OTT market brief for 2020, and this is their, I think it's the third one that they've done, or maybe the fourth, I can't remember. And one of the things that just stuck out to me, Will, is both the growth in CTV usage and in the growth in AVOD. So I want to just quickly review that data because I think it's so interesting. Comscore, they really talk about Wi-Fi households, primarily Wi-Fi households. But what they say is between sort of mid 2019 and mid 2020, which is where we are today, of course, is that they saw a 5.2 million home increase in the number of people streaming to a connected TV. They say now about 70 million homes in the US, 69.8. Million homes in the US are streaming to, they say, used OTT in their definition of OTT is basically all of the connected TV devices, including smart TVs, streaming sticks, etc. And that, they say, is about a 68% reach among homes with Wi-Fi. And their estimate is that there are about 100, well, using their numbers, they say there's 102 million homes with Wi-Fi in the US today. They also say that the average home viewed 102 hours of OTT content across the month. That's a 17-hour increase in the month. So that's, you know, that's an easy sum to do, right? That's a 18 or 19% increase right there in the average amount watched through the devices. And that they increased the number of days to 18.7 average viewing days per month. That's also 1.3 days up from last year. So all of these data points are showing, you know, big increases up and to the right for CTV usage in the home. But the thing that really jumped out at me from these ComScore numbers, Will, was just the growth, the extraordinary growth in ad-supported services. ComScore says now that there are 58.5 million homes in the US today that are watching ad-supported content on their connected televisions. That's a 9% increase from last year. And, you know, it's virtually the same number as are watching non-ad-supported, i.e. SVOD services. They say that's 62.4 million, up 5%. So AVOD is really catching up to SVOD these days. And, you know, this can't come as a surprise, I think, to our listeners, because we've talked about so many of the infrastructure pieces that have just sort of fallen into alignment that we needed for the rapid expansion of AVOD. And I'm thinking of things like built-in AVOD channels into smart TVs. These are ridiculously easy to use. I just got a new Vizio TV and it was really trivial to start watching television. No aerial connection, just connect to Wi-Fi and boom, you're watching. You know, I'm watching premium. I tell you, last weekend, Will, it was really funny. I connected this thing and I just went immediately to the free channels, and playing was the movie Arrival, which is wonderful and I love Amy Adams, and that was it. I was gone for an hour while I finished watching this movie, and of course I was watching ads. So this is just a great easy way to watch. Pluto TV also is a key partner of Vizio, powering that television, and it's the same for folks like Samsung and LG, and of course Roku powered TVs. They have the Roku channel, which is packed full of ad supported stuff. So this rapid expansion of the number of people watching ad supported really isn't a surprise, but I just, you know, seeing the numbers right there, I guess it just reinforces how well the ecosystem for just straight out regular TV watching has filled out in the last year.
Yeah, well, we've certainly talked about that before, Colin, but the range of choices is practically infinite at this point. And we know from Roku has said this now for I don't know how many years, that the top search term in Roku is free. And that was really the word free. And that was really, they've said many times in the past that that was their impetus to creating the Roku channel and starting to license some of their own content. They're not creating any of their own yet, of course, we know, but to go out there and license a bunch of content to put it in the Roku channel. And that, you add that to what you just said, your experience, that, you know, the out of the box experience, putting a connected TV in place and you start watching video right away without doing anything else, that's bound to increase usage. And that's, I think, what we're seeing.
Yeah. And the other thing that I didn't mention in the infrastructure piece is just that folks like Roku have just been working really hard on the infrastructure so that they can give full reporting and all of the information and all of the ad products that customers, advertisers would really want in their service. And so I really think that this is beginning to pay off for them and for folks like Pluto TV and Xumo and all of the others that are involved in the markets. And I was really surprised in talking with Vizio. They also have a fairly developed ad sales team that can help smaller providers sell ads into their ad supported content. And all of this, I think, all of this infrastructure for ad sales really didn't exist if you just went back a couple of years. So that's one of the key pieces, I think, that's filled out here. Of course, we still have the challenge of a unified measurement system across all of these, but I think that we're probably converging towards a set of measurement. I don't know, maybe, what are your contacts telling you there, Will?
Well, there's certainly a ton of interest in converged measurement. And in fact, I'm just going to bring back the IAB survey for a second. And it specifically asked the question about, you know, what was the survey respondents thought about merging the TV upfronts and the digital new fronts. They found that 49% of respondents would like to see the upfront and the new fronts merged. And the number one reason that they found was for better cross-screen measurement. So IAB just again this week, I think, validating that on the buy side, that kind of cross-screen measurement is really a key motivator right now. Just behind cross-screen measurement, consumer insights and trends, also cited by 39% of respondents. Fluidity across screens, cited by 32% of respondents. Custom audiences and targeting, cited by 30% of respondents. So certainly IAB, I think, supports the idea that cross-screen is essential. And you know, actually related to this, Colin, it's funny, I know we've talked about Quibi in the past, but we saw a report this week out of Variety, I believe, that Quibi is now, looks like they're aggressively moving past their mobile-only distribution strategy to also be on connected TVs. And that would be yet another sort of point of validation that not just content providers, service providers, but also the buy side, no doubt, is pushing Quibi to be on the big TV as well.
Yeah, as well they should. I mean, that was one of the things that came out, I think, this week. We had a report in the New York Post that the initial advertisers, the people that really ponied up and said that they would support Quibi, folks like Walmart and PepsiCo, that those guys are looking to reschedule their payments because they're pretty disappointed with the performance of the service. And yeah, you are dead right. Getting on connected TV will be a big help. I mean, I mentioned my experience with Arrival, but one of the other things I've been doing is I've started to use Quibi. And one of the reasons I've started to use it is since they allowed casting. And so, you know, usually I'm using this when I'm on my my elliptical in the mornings, and I've been casting a couple of episodes of Free Rayshawn, which is great and very topical for right now, onto my TV. And my goodness, does this video look great. It's almost a crime that we couldn't look at it on a big screen like a 50-inch TV. Because it just looks great. It's really well shot, high quality, and as I say, it just looks great. And the light ad load that Quibi provides between, you basically see one ad between each of the 6 or 7 minute segments, is pretty acceptable when you're binge viewing like that. You can just go from one episode to the next, and all you have to do is watch a short ad between. That seems to work out very well. So I have a feeling that will be very beneficial for them. I know that there was another report in Variety that they were also looking to get on Roku and Fire TV. That might be a little tougher than they think, bearing in mind that HBO Max still doesn't appear on those two those two device sets. In other words, they're still trying to work out a deal, so but maybe Quibi will get there sooner. But they have to be on everything else as well, Will. It's not just enough to be on those few devices. I think they're going to have to support the major smart TVs and the other operating systems like Android TV 2 in order to really maximize the opportunity. But yeah, I expect that their advertisers are really cheering that they've finally done that.
Yeah, no question about that. So, Colin, it's there's clearly a lot of uncertainty, in the ad world right now, given COVID and given the sort of changing user behaviors, viewer behaviors, everything else. But it does seem like going into the NewFronts next week, there's a lot of steam behind the connected TVs and behind OTT. and advertisers certainly taken note and looking to shift spending there.
Yeah, they certainly are. And I think I'd like to end on an up note, Will, because I was lucky enough to moderate a panel at the Virtual Videoscape Europe last week. And one of my guests on that panel was Henry Embleton, who is head of ad products and revenue for Crunchyroll. And our listeners will perhaps remember he actually came on. We interviewed him, I think, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Really great interview. If you didn't catch that, go rustling through our library and listen to it, because it was really great. I asked a sort of open question. What are you most excited about with connected television? And here's what he said. He said, you can start doing lots of unique things with ad products, whether it's just interactivity and co-viewing or verification and lead gen. That's what you can do, which you couldn't necessarily do on traditional TV. I suspect that those words are resonating pretty well with that the large number of buyers that are looking at connected TV as a place to invest in the second half, Will. So all to the good, right?
Absolutely, all to the good. And it's going to be a fun week next week to watch some of the NewFront presentations and see what new things all the different providers have planned. I'm guessing we'll see a lot of new content. We'll see some new ad formats. We'll probably see some new data on usage. So maybe we'll plan for next week to debrief some of that.
That would be great. That would be great.
Okay, Colin. Well, I think that's it for this week. So stay well out there. And everyone, thanks for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.